producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
I trust you had a great weekend, everybody listening to me right now. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Whether you're in the States or outside and you are tuned into us, Ebola is still a buzz in everybody's backyard. And, of course, there's more news. Sadly, another person in Dallas has come down with Ebola. And the CDC is saying it's not our fault. It was a breach in protocol. It was a nurse this time. In fact, it was a nurse who cared for Tom Duncan, as you could imagine, who died last week. He was the first person to get Ebola in the United States. But, of course, he came in and it was incubating inside him from Ebola-ravaged Liberia. The nurse did everything she was supposed to do. She wore all the protective gear that she was told to wear. And she still contracted Ebola. How frightening is that? This is supposed to mean you are protected. So the CDC is saying, well, don't look at us. There's got to be some kind of a breach. Well, when you're the caregiver, boy, you are really sitting on the craps table with this. We know this certainly from West Africa, but you kind of understand because you say, well, there's more primitive conditions. You're surrounded by and treating more people with Ebola. She was treating one person as a nurse with Ebola, and she wore that gear through all of her contact at the Dallas hospital with Thomas Duncan, but she tested positive during a preliminary blood test. She had on, let's just go through it. She had on gown, gloves, mask, and a shield during all the visits. Every single visit at Texas Health Presby Hospital in Dallas. How does that make you feel? Because we keep hearing the, oh, no, we don't. There's so much fear-mongering going on and panic. So I have to say that it's very disconcerting. In fact, I wrote a little commentary. If you go to americatonight.net, you can catch it there. And this is exactly what made me think, boy, you have this idea of we're in the United States. It's one patient. Yes, there were gaffes that happened in the beginning. So immediately when I heard about the nurse, I sort of assumed in my mind it was perhaps someone who treated him without any protective clothing on or gloves or any of that kind of stuff because it was in the beginning, the first time around. But this wasn't the case at all. This was a nurse who was caring for him once he was in isolation. It was the second trip to the hospital. So the nurse right now is in stable condition at this point. So she is now the second person. And in the meantime, 38 people are being monitored for links to Tom Duncan to see if they develop Ebola. And you think of the firemen and you think of the people that were cleaning up the hazardous materials, the 141 bags of stuff that came out, the nearby people who lived at an apartment right next door to where Thomas Duncan was staying. I got to tell you, no matter what they were to say to me, I would still feel very, very worried about it. Very worried. I mean, hazardous materials now are cleaning out the nurse's car, and they're going to work on her apartment. They've already started working on it. They're going to pull everything out of her apartment as well. So now it's a question of who did she come in contact with? Who did she possibly sweat on? Who did she possibly have some kind of close brush with that could perhaps lead to Ebola? You know, what's interesting is the commissioner of the Texas Department of State Health Services said, he said this, he said, we knew a second case could be a reality, and we've been preparing for the possibility. We're broadening our team in Dallas. We're working with diligence to prevent further spread. The nurse had a low-grade fever on Friday night and then was isolated, and that's when they did the test, and then they came back. So somebody said to me, Well, the good news is that the system seems to be working. What? The system seems to be working, not working in the transmission aspect of it. If you think that she was completely from head to toe in protective gear. So the stats, you know, we always say it comes back to the numbers. We even do a numbers segment. So the World Health Organization estimates 8,300 people have contracted Ebola during this outbreak. Remember, the outbreak started in March. More than 4,000 people have died. People are at risk when? Blood, saliva, sweat, feces, vomit, soiled clothes, an Ebola patient, traveling to West Africa, coming in contact with someone who has Ebola. And trust me, I said this in the last couple of weeks, you don't want to get Ebola. From everything that I have read about Ebola, it is just awful. It is god-awful. We're talking where you feel like your insides are being ripped out, and all you can do is ride it out. And, of course, in the meantime, it's about developing the cure for this, or developing drugs for this anyway. They've got experimental drugs that they're working on, scientists right now, a whole bunch of them, and then trying to get it out there. The ZMapp, not available. If the ZMapp helped with a couple of the patients, it's not going to work with anyone else if it's not available. So the push is on as well to get as much of the stuff that they can possibly pump out as fast as you possibly can imagine. So, yes, Ebola. I mean, Ebola is on our minds. And here's the question. Are we being told the truth or not? That's part of the discussion. We're going to have Dr. Merrill Nass on with us, and Dr. Nass is one who says that there's no doubt that Ebola has a history of airborne droplet transmission, is what she calls it, and people are finally starting to admit it. And she's saying that a new BU bio lab is raising serious safety concerns. They say it would be a mistake to license another high contaminant lab, that's what she says, in the middle of Boston when existing labs have a terrible track record of containing the very organisms that they are charged with studying. Wow. So we're going to chat with the doc coming up on our next show here on America Tonight. Also, another conversation with another doctor, Dr. Mardia Stone, who's an international health expert. She just came back from Liberia working with the government right there at the epicenter of the epidemic. She went into some of those communities and quarantined them because of Ebola and met with about 80 Ebola survivors who didn't get the experimental drug, the ZMapp. She's going to talk about with us what's happening in those communities, how patients and their families are dealing with this devastating diagnosis, and why it's so hard to control the spread of the disease. So can't wait to hear her perspective and what she saw on the ground on our next America Tonight. Coming up next, though, we have the weekly re-rack here on ATM. We're going to take you back to a conversation we had with Dan Gaynor. You don't want to miss it. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Tonight, we've been talking a lot about the way Ebola has been handled. As you know, our satellite facility where I am is 10 miles from where Thomas Duncan is lying in a hospital bed, still in critical condition in Dallas, Texas. He's the guy who got Ebola once he came to the United States visiting relatives in Dallas. Dan Gaynor is in our virtual green room. He's with Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute, and they did a wild study. I shouldn't say wild, but they always study these kind of things. But they did a study on the number of network reports on Ebola and about it coming to the United States, and had some interesting findings, I think, that I was very surprised in relationship to just trusting the CDC and not questioning anything about some of their past misses. Hey, Dan, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I mean, this is an issue of life or death for all of us, and so it's kind of important.
Yeah, so what did you find when you looked at what the networks were presenting as far as Ebola and how it's been handled?
Well, I mean, what we found is that the networks that have dutifully covered the many missteps of the CDC, particularly this year, because there have been so many that it's been hard to ignore. And I actually think CBS has done a pretty good job up to now. But then when you start talking about Ebola and the CDC, suddenly we're supposed to think that they're a well-run organization that knows what they're doing. And in 98% of the story, okay, that's almost as close to 100% as you can possibly get, 98% of the stories we found that they didn't bring up any questions about CDC, their qualifications, their past mistakes, anything like that, even though this is an organization that has become both politicized and bureaucratic and incompetent to the point where they can't even handle pathogens that they're responsible for properly.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, when you think of it, as you said. This affects all of us. And people are freaked out because they don't know a lot about Ebola. You're getting bits and pieces. We're hearing different things. And, you know, we're talking about the Ebola outbreak in general. If we re-rack and go all the way back to March, and then, of course, the doctor, Dr. Brantley, and his assistant, the person who was working with him, Nancy Reitbol, who was volunteering, she also comes down with Ebola. They both almost die. He said it was like walking through hell is how he described it, which was enough to shake me up. And apparently everybody's just brushed that off, and I don't understand that. Is there some tie in here why, or just giving cred to the CDC or what?
Well, I mean, I think generally the media take a defensive position for anything the administration does. Journalists are inherently statists. In a time of crisis, the people that they always think are the people who are going to help you out are the government, even though we keep seeing repeated examples. I mean, whether it's the VA outright killing our veterans or the IRS that just got fined for misreleasing of tax information. I mean, who can we trust? Well, it's fair to say I'm sure there are some wonderful people working for the CDC. But they're also, it's not a well-run organization, and journalists ordinarily would be suspicious of organizations. Imagine if this was a business handling thing.
Yeah, I know we'd be all over them. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I mean, they've certainly been quick to go after the hospital in question in Dallas. Well, let's talk some about the CDC and, their role in all this. And are we being managed by the best people possible, the most competent players? Because if you even use Obama's statement, we don't have room for a lot of missteps. Amen.
No, we don't have a lot of room for missteps because we see what's happening in West Africa. And yes, you can say, oh, well, that's West Africa, and they don't have the kind of medical care we have, and they don't have access like we have, and, it's dirty, it's crowded, there's not any room. Well, that's why we're there. That's why the president sent the amount of people that he sent to build these clinics and everything else. But the bottom line is, Ebola is a virus, and what does it know about that? If somebody has Ebola and it's transferred to you through some kind of bodily fluid like a sneeze and that comes off and it hits you, which is why there's concern over why are they even monitoring people that Tom Duncan came in contact with, because obviously they know how serious it can be. But when I say they, it's the CDC that all of a sudden stepped in and they sent a team of people, but they initially missed it all in the beginning. I mean, like you said, everybody was looking at the hospital in Dallas, but immediately upon contacting the CDC, they didn't even tell Dallas to send out the hazmat trucks until days later. And isn't that a little bit late in the game when already people have been in and out of an apartment, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's being so PC about this. I mean, I saw that one of the administrators in Dallas escorted the quarantined family out by not wearing a quarantine suit. Deliberately, because, I don't want to scare people. You know what? Wear the darn suit. I mean, we're more concerned about not offending people. There are two problems here. I mean, one is that we're so worried about offending people and trying not to scare people, when in reality, who keeps getting this illness? The medical people we're treating. The latest case in Spain is a nurse who they said had only two, short interactions with the victim, a priest who got it and passed away. So somehow or another, the doctors, the nurses, there was one kid, one hospital in Liberia, I think 23 of the nurses and doctors or something got it there and died out of 25.
Wow.
So, that's the problem, one. And two, you look at the medical care and the hazmat teams, everything involved in each one of these cases. Well, so far we only have 6 cases in this country, and God bless, I hope that's all we ever get. And that would be great. And, but each one of them is probably getting the equivalent of millions of dollars of care. And so what happens if it's suddenly 1,000 or 10,000? I mean, for people who don't remember history, after World War I, in 1918, the U.S. and the world faced what was called then the Spanish flu. And the Spanish flu killed 650,000 people in the United States and somewhere between 30 and 50 million globally because they just had no idea. And we had a ramped up healthcare system at the time because, of course, we had been in a war. So I mean, we had, you know, a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses, stuff like that. And it really almost broke the American healthcare system. Now, I know we have vastly better medical understanding, vastly better drugs and doctors and advanced technology and all that other stuff. But how many people can we handle at this level of care? And even at this level of care, you see the nurse in Spain. I mean, they're shipping the guy in a tube. I mean, you know, this is a serious risk. And we've got people worried about not offending people in Africa or worried about, scaring the people who are under quarantine. We are not shutting this down in any way that seems logical. And the media aren't asking those questions.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Then there's the other question about, okay, so, I mean, excellent, astute observation about if how many people get it, then how do we treat all those people? And also, you know, the experimental drugs, which we don't know for sure what that did for the doctor and Nancy Reitbold, but a lot of people seem to think it did, the ZMAP. They don't have ZMAP, so there's no experimental drugs other than this one drug they have in Canada that's a possibility. So even there, we're stuck because Ebola, in a way, is kind of one of those things you have to ride out. You're kind of at the craps table, aren't you?
Yeah, well, they've given the individual in Texas another experimental drug that they've tried on a couple of other illnesses. He's the first human to get it to be tried for Ebola. And I hope it works. I mean, we don't know what his motivation was. We don't know enough about the case, whether he really thought he had it and came here irresponsibly or whether, he just didn't even think he was unhealthy. Because, I mean, our knowledge base of this seems to be fluid, appropriately enough, since, you know, you can get this through bodily fluid. It seems to be constantly changing. Yes, it can incubate in the body for 21 days, but, you see reports that maybe you're still, you still might pass it on to others through bodily fluids longer than that. I don't know. But here's what we do know, is that the people who are the most in charge have handled a lot of other situations. And this is the CDC that politicizes data, has been involved in controversies involving food, tobacco, alcohol. They're the ones who played games with the obesity stats and said obesity was the number one killer in the country. When they got pushed back on that, they backed off a little bit. And then, experienced researchers and all said, no, this is completely bogus. They ended up lowering their estimate, like a factor several times over. I mean, the number plummeted. And yet they were the ones out there touting that as a way of reining in what we eat. This is not an agency that, is solely focused on medicine and health. This is an agency that's political, and that scares me no end.
Yeah, perfect way to end this. I absolutely agree. Too many variables going on here. Dan Gaynor, the Media Research Center's VP of Business and Culture, thanks for hopping on with us.
Happy to do it anytime.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad, it's not so bad.
Coming up, we read it in the headlines, but before we get there, the Center for Definite Confusion really has a lot of people in a panic, as I started to talk about in the beginning of this show, at the top of this show, and some of the people that we're going to have on our next show and throughout the week talking about Ebola and what kind of precautions are necessary, and is it really an airborne thing, and we're being lied to that it can be an airborne deal. And I said it could be airborne because think of, like, sneezing. You know, there's certain bodily functions of bodily fluid that would lead to that. But now there's also, besides the nurse in Dallas who had all of the gown and all the protective gear on, who is now in stable condition, tested positive for Ebola, they're saying that the Boston Public Health Commission is confirming that a patient who walked into a medical clinic and was then later transported to another medical center doesn't really meet the criteria for someone to be considered high risk for Ebola. So what's that all about? They were talking about it a lot in Massachusetts, of course, and in Boston, but somebody who had Ebola-like symptoms walked into that clinic and then was taken to the hospital. So immediately that was tweeted out and conversations was just flowing all over the place about it. thinking, oh, no, we've got somebody in Boston now. But what they're saying is the patient who was waiting in his car as he was instructed to do, you know, was then carried off to, in an ambulance, and they followed the Ebola protocol in interacting and transporting the patient, and they were really careful for those kinds of situations because they saw what was happening in Dallas and other areas. So they have responders on board, police, EMS teams, you know, the protocol, they have that protocol rolled out. And here's the deal. The patient had recently traveled to Liberia and came in because of a headache and muscle aches. So that was the alert to the urgent care and then ultimately to the hospital. What happens ultimately is, this is the symptom thing, because the symptoms include muscle pain, fever, weakness, vomiting, stomach pain, unexplained bleeding, and yes, severe headaches. And certainly diarrhea would be on that list too. But anyway, the bottom line is he had been in Liberia. He came, then he called them up and talked about it, went to a facility to refill a prescription, then got into his car before they ran out to prevent him from leaving, but kept him in the car, didn't touch anything. So there you go. This is kind of how it rolls. But the EMS people and everybody else had the protocol, so if that protocol is working, then at least in Boston, they're going to feel pretty safe, whatever happens with this guy, that they handled it correctly. But here we go. Somebody who was in Liberia coming back, saying, thinking he's okay, and then developing some of the symptoms. He's being tested, and we'll see. But once you get the headaches or the fever, just like the nurse, she gets a low-grade fever, boom, next thing you know, they test the blood, and she has Ebola, period. All right, so headlines. Sunday is a big day still in the newspaper biz, because even if a lot of people aren't reading the newspaper anymore because they're going to the internet, or they're even reading the paper on the internet, some people still like the feel of the news. I'm one of those people. I'm the Sunday paper person. Can you hear my paper? It's the Wall Street Journal. I'm one of those people that likes to get the paper and read it, sit somewhere without a computer screen in my face and actually read the headlines. And so the whole thing is Ebola. The Wall Street Journal, their top headline was, even in death, Ebola isolates victims from loved ones, and then talked about, showed a screaming woman while the body of her sister was being taken away. Because the sad, sick, twisted ending to this whole thing is when somebody dies from Ebola, then, they're burning the body. Because that's when it's the most dangerous, just filled with Ebola, and they have to get rid of the body as soon as possible, and it means cremation, period. And they've seen that happen in West Africa. So usually they'll just take the body to a fence if they can. The people get to see it one last, the loved one one last time, and then that's it. That's just the way they have to do it because it's too dangerous. So if we go from the Wall Street Journal, they also talk about Qatar's U.S. ties straining the coalition, that there's a lot of problems with that the administration is having a big trouble as far as Qatar's concerned, and then dealing with Arab officials from there and, what their affiliation is and ultimately what they're going to contribute and how they're having problems controlling that. Not a surprise, huh? We go to the San Francisco Chronicle. And what do you think the San Francisco Chronicle would have on the front page? Well, of course, one of the things they would have is the Cards beat the Giants 5-4 in Game 2 of the National League Championship Series. That series evened at 1 because sports fans are not their local team as a chance to go to the World Series and is, on that next level, that next step. Then there is another headline that says, taking care of business in San Francisco's high turnover climate. So despite all the idea that business is just booming in San Francisco, they say that the high rate of what businesses are doing is pretty quick. They're dying quickly, so they're not surviving in this economy, that they're having a hard time of it, that, the a restaurant or a clothing store pops up and it lasts for a while and then it's out. Boom. Unless it's one of the big stores. So they say people are left scrambling in a big, 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 big way. Then the other thing that they're talking about on their front page is schools scrambling for qualified teachers because they've got a teacher shortage. They say they've long predicted, the article goes on to say they have a long predicted teacher shortage that hit the school districts because of the stiff competition for qualified candidates, and more classrooms are in the hands of temporary or emergency teachers who lack full credentials. Isn't that ironic? And I've heard this from other people who are smart, who want to be teachers, who get blocked out of it, or who have gone through and gotten a teaching certificate in other areas. And then they say we need teachers, but it's really stringent credentials that we want for you to get in. So in the meantime, because we can't find any, we're going to have really unqualified people teaching these kids. Does that make sense to anybody? I don't know. It's like when they said, I've heard this before, we really need male teachers, but then it turns out, boy, you better be good in math and science. That's really what they're looking for in elementary and middle schools and even some of the high schools. Because if you don't have that background and you can't teach it, that's really the best chance for you to get in. So that's what's happening in San Francisco. In Philadelphia, their front page talks about the same thing in a different way. Philly teachers, we already give enough. And they're talking about the fact that the teachers don't have enough resources, so they end up buying them their things themselves for their classrooms. And they feel like they're being gypped, that they're shortchanged. So we have one problem on one coast and one problem on the other coast, but I've heard other teachers say that very same thing, that they, the ones that are so dedicated, that just don't want the kids to have a second-rate education in their classroom and feel like, oh, really, we don't have enough crowns for the kids, which that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes it comes down to that. It comes down to just things that you need in a classroom, like rulers. So lo and behold, in Philly, that's what they're talking about, too, teachers of a different sort, and also Ebola, the Ebola scare as well. Dan in Texas, you have the floor. Doo-doo-doo-doo. There he is.
I had to put my headphones down.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm not going to rant on anything tonight on anybody. I have something for you to do. You have connections with the news media. You need to talk to these people about pressuring Obama to put the military on the border and stop anybody, absolutely anybody, coming in. Two, you need to press these people on ending all flights from Africa, make sure that every passport has the designation of where the people have been that are coming into this country from other nations other than Africa, because we want to not let somebody circumvent by going to Belgium or Switzerland or Germany and then coming back through us through that sort of route. This has got to be stopped. We can't allow any more flights in here. Every one of these people is a potential bomb. And that's,
you know what, I agree with you. I agree, Dan. I don't understand.
What that guest that you had on there earlier was absolutely right, and I believe what you believe. I believe this is potentially airborne in certain circumstances. That woman had absolutely total protection, and she still come down with it, and they're going to find the cases out of the people that was in those apartments. They're the next victims. And then the people...
Yeah, I would be... I agree. I'd be very concerned if I were them, for sure. Thanks, Dan. Because, and we're going to have a doctor on tomorrow talking about it, because, again, this potential, some of the things that we're not being told. Stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side for the final seg of this hour.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drop and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
No, no, no. I refuse to age. How would you like to refuse or even reverse the signs of aging? You can with a breakthrough skincare line that utilizes growth factors and plant stem cells to visibly turn back the clock. It's clinically proven and the results are stunning. Call 1-844-500-0815. 1-844-500-0815. Or visit irefusetoage.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Here of this version of America tonight. A couple of quick things, and I mentioned it there because it was one of the headlines. In fact, it was actually one in a later edition, obviously, slash into Monday. But the NLCS is tied now at one. Colton Wong with the game-winning home run in the ninth for the Cardinals. In fact, they had four home runs. So how about that? They even their series. I know a lot of people in Missouri listening to us are probably interested in what's happening, and the same thing with what's going on with the Royals. So the Cards win this 5-4, and this is the best of seven series, so that series is even now at one game apiece. And this pick should be pretty interesting, I think. You know, this is it. This is the road to the World Series. It's now down to four. It's such a long, long, long season. So when you finally get there, it's, you know, the elation is just overwhelming. It's like, oh, wait, you mean we're finally here, finally, after everything we had to do to scratch and claw and make our way there. So, and on Saturday, Kansas City knocked off the Royals 6-4. So that was another big win for them. And they lead the series. Kansas City leads that series 2-0. Can you imagine if KC and St. Louis win, it would be a rematch of 1985. Those teams would both be back in the World Series, but we'll see. There's still a very, very long way to go. I like to whip in some odds and ends here, because certainly other than Ebola, there's other things that people are talking about. One of them is ISIS and what's happening with ISIS. Remember, a long time ago, I said my biggest fear with ISIS was how close will they get to, how big is the threat to getting to Baghdad after everything that that we've endured, everything that's happened in Baghdad, and all the Americans that still, by the way, are in that country. So check this out. ISIS fighters are on the verge of two big fronts. Two big fronts. And one of them is Baghdad. I mean, they are on the steps as it's being described. On Sunday, the leader of the U.S. military effort, that would be General Dempsey, talked about, as part of the Sunday Swirl, he was on ABC's This Week, he talked about the fact that the ISIS group came within 15 miles of the Baghdad airport. 15 miles, that's pretty close. So think about low-flying attack helicopters having to do what they do, keep ISIS at bay. I mean, that's the tool they had to use, and he talked about it. I mean, you talk about operating constantly at a high level of not knowing where they're coming from on the attack. They control about 80% of the province right there close to Baghdad. Well, the province really that Baghdad is in. So over the weekend, the police chief of the Anbar province was killed in a roadside bomb, targeting specifically his convoy. So now if Anbar falls, then the Sunni extremists would rule from pretty much, picture a map in your mind, the perimeter of Iraq's capital to Raqqa in Syria, at least. That means they control 350 miles. That's how long it would be. 350 miles. And the U.S. military is repeating over and over again, they are not jumping into this. They are not putting boots on the ground. Because Iraqi armed forces have threatened to abandon again, to throw down their weapons, if the U.S. military doesn't intervene. Part of the problem is they see that how many people have been killed or injured in this struggle, and they say the number's up to 1,800. And the army soldiers are complaining they don't have training, they don't have the right kind of equipment. But even the Iraqi government is saying, we don't want U.S. forces on the ground. Our president is saying, we are not going to deploy any forces to be on the ground. But I'd say this is more than a conundrum. I mean, if the Iraqi military is saying, yeah, we're just throwing our guns down, we're leaving, well, we see what happens there. The U.S. National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, is saying that Turkey would allow the United States and its partners to use bases and territory to train there, because that's pretty close. They say they have facilities inside Turkey that would work, and it would work for the coalition, and they'd allow it, no problem. So there's a commitment from Turkey that they need, because Baghdad really can't go down. I mean, that's disastrous if Baghdad goes down. I mean, the Anbar province is in trouble. That's not good. It's a dire situation there. But if Baghdad falls, I mean, forget it. And they're saying Iraqi forces are in full control of Baghdad. Even Chuck Hagel, the U.S. Defense Secretary, is saying that. But, of course, he's saying that. But I wonder how true that is when they're getting this close to the gates. Not good. Not good at all. Because if Baghdad falls, the facility we have there, some of the people we have there, you know, it'll just be running for the hills, in a sense. Then what? What if they take over Baghdad? I mean, isn't that pretty much the last yard? I would think. I would think it would be. We'll be talking with some people later in the week about that, about what's the strategy. So what should the strategy be? What do you do when, you know, what do you do when you're not going to put boots on the ground? Do we really want boots on the ground? No. But if Baghdad is taken over, and if all these coalition efforts, okay, now we're saying, we'll go to Turkey. Isn't that great? Yay, good, that's great. Turkey will allow us to have training facilities. But how long to get people ready? How long is that going to take while ISIL or ISIS is continuing to do the damage that they're doing? Right? It's rough. I mean, it's rough, really, honestly. I think Baghdad goes, and a lot of hope goes out of that area, too, as well. I mean, the fact that ISIS had a straight shot, as General Dempsey described it, to the Baghdad airport, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, boy, they know, and I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear what that conversation is, hear that conversation that's not on the record. Love to hear it. And then, oh, by the way, this also happened. Different troops, Putin's troops, they've been pulled away from the Ukrainian border. How about that? Vladimir Putin made a big announcement over the weekend. He ordered thousands of Russian troops near the Ukrainian border to return to the usual bases. That's big. 17,600 approximately troops pulled, returning home from Rostov, a southern area that borders the East Ukraine, where they've had lots of problems. The pro-Russian insurgents have been battling the government troops since how long? Since April. Since April they've been doing that. But now they're saying that they're pulling back, that they're pulling back off of that. How about that? And previously, supposedly, they were going to have troop withdrawals, if you remember. They were talking about pulling weapons and fighters and all of those people off the border. But I think maybe the sanctions are helping. Maybe the sanctions are squeezing them just a little bit too much. All right, I'm going to leave you with a drop a joke moment. Ready for this? What does a nosy pepper do? Get jalapeno business. That was good.
In a complicated society, stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.